I'm recording now. See, this is I'm announcing it. It's official that I'm recording.
See, you didn't have to announce it. It was better when you used to not, and then you just catch like lightning in a bottle.
Okay.
I mean, that's how you got your little sound bite that you like to use on different shows, because you're like, wait, say that again. I wasn't recording.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I'm not recording. Wink.
Oh.
Well, it really doesn't matter, boss, because quite frankly, I'm the lightning, so there's that. And I'm always a... Hey, man, you've been getting your shit in lately, though, man. I've been putting you over quite a bit this new year. Even you have to admit that.
You have been. It's been that you went for that good guy kind of gimmick turn, and then, I don't know, we've been a little more on the same page. It's been a little less, fuck you, you Japanese Mark piece of shit. Fuck you, you WWE Mark piece of shit. And then Tony just chiming in with Soda's Rule and TNA.
Well, I mean, Soda's you still are rule. A Japanese yeah, Mark piece of shit, but you've actually gotten really good at this whole podcast thing. So, I mean, I got to give you your props, man. I give credit where credit's due. You're good at this now.
And to be fair, it's exactly what you were saying since Jump, and it's just getting your reps in. So it took me a while. I had to kind of take my lumps and kind of figure it out. And who better to try to figure shit out with than you? You don't make it easy.
No, man, it's trial by fire, brother. Either you're going to sink or you swim, man. That's how my dad taught me.
You the fire and the lightning. You're like, learn to swim, throw you in the fucking lake.
Hey, that's how my dad taught me, man. He was
that's how my grandfather taught me, too. So, yeah, so I got it.
My first house showing, he said, okay, I'll meet you there. You know what I mean? Don't worry about it. I'll meet you there. So I got the client and everything. I'll meet you there. I call him. This mother farmer don't answer the goddamn phone. Like, I call him 5 times. He don't answer the phone, man. So it's like, goddamn. So I got to show this person the house. I ended up selling the house. But yeah, that was his method. Either you going to sink or you going to swim.
Oh, no. The same thing happened even when I was little growing up. You know, like, even like 5, 6, 7 years old, like learning how to play baseball. You know, when I was little, I might have had an issue with staying in front of the ball. So my grandfather, in his infinite tough wisdom, basically told me, stay in front of the fucking ball or I'm going to throw it harder. And then he threw it harder. And I got pegged multiple times. So I learned to put my glove up. And then it still stung through the fucking glove. The man was 50 years older than I was. So if we're at like 6, 7 years old, he's nearly 60. And he had to be throwing at least 80 because that shit would fucking hurt. But I couldn't say shit. I had to just stand there and catch it because if I dropped it, he threw it harder the next fucking time.
Oh, that's one of life's dirty little secrets. You don't want to fight a 60-year-old man. Like, but you think.
What I mean.
No, that's what I mean. Like, we're saying the same thing, just coming from different angles. Yeah, you don't want to fight a 60-year-old man. Like, a 60-year-old man will give you that work. You already said the Melifarma still had the heat at 60. So imagine getting a punch to the face at 60.
Yeah, I don't want to.
No.
He was really good at the fear of God when I was a kid. You know what I mean?
Touche. And, you know, it's funny because the world needs a little bit more of that. Like, we have to learn how to treat our women better. But at the same point in time, man, we got to get these snowflakes out the paint. Like, we need men to be men.
Oh, I agree with you completely.
Yeah. Like, we can do both. Like, men can be men, and we can learn how to treat our women better. Like, both things can be true at the same time, and we can do both at the same time. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
They're not mutually exclusive. You can be masculine and not a complete douchebag. It's, you know, it works.
Yeah. And the secret they don't tell you is, you know, we're raising this generation of snowflakes, and they don't tell you that women don't give buns to snowflakes. So we're going to have a bunch of eunuch Pornhub motherfuckers just mad at women because they don't want to give them no buns.
Well, no, you see, that's why everybody's like pan, tri, cis, identifying as a fucking like llama in fucking pajamas or whatever the fuck it is, or whatever the fuck these idiots come up with as a sexual preference and identity. So it's like, this, we created our own ridiculousness in the cesspool of whatever the fuck this is. I don't even know. Like, yeah, I miss how it used to be in the 90s. Bring that back.
I ain't creating nothing.
I don't necessarily miss how it used to be, because there was a lot of problematic shit that happened in the decades leading to this. But where we at right now, this ain't it. Like, this ain't it at all. Like, yeah, this ain't it at all. As a matter of fact, you know what, fellas? From this point forward, man, I identify as a woman. My name is Christina, and I'm going to go try out for the WNBA.
I mean, you can't say no. That would be, you know, that would be bias. That would be, you know, a misunderstanding, a hate crime. I don't even know. What does that fall under anymore?
Joanna Man 2?
Joanna Man 2. That's what's about to happen. I'm going to take 3 months and get my ass into shape, and I'm going to go try out for the WNBA. And the funny thing is, them chicks would still probably bust my ass, but we're not going to go there.
The world has turned into Tu Wong Fu. Figure that one out.
I got the John Leguizamo reference there. Yes, I got it.
Really, he's like the least famous person in that movie, and that was the reference you get out of that movie.
Yeah, but doesn't that...
Leguizamo holds up against, what was it, Wesley Snipes? And...
Dude, come on, man. Leguizamo is not on the same stratosphere as Wesley Snipes or Patrick Swayze, R.I.P. Patrick Swayze was a legend after Roadhouse, period. Roadhouse is legendary. It's one of those great bad movies. Like, it's so bad, it's phenomenal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's synonymous for great bad movies. Kind of like Kevin Costner and Kurt Russell.
But Leguizamo's also great stand-up.
Yes, and he's branched out.
Leguizamo is a decent stand-up.
Wow.
He's decent stand-up.
Let's just start the show.
Yes, I'm insulted.
My bags are back. I'm ready to go. It's Mania, and here we go. Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the latest edition of Pod is War. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And use your heads, ladies and gentlemen. We're in March right now. Easter is upon us next month. And what better way to commemorate your Lord and Savior than to acknowledge and appreciate and celebrate the ultimate sacrifice, ultimate job that was done. Then to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official Jesus did the job and his dad was the promoter t-shirts. I mean, this is the perfect, it's the reason for the season, ladies and gentlemen. Literally, it is literally the reason for the season. He did the job. Now we have Easter. You're welcome, people. So commemorate your Lord and Savior and do him a favor. Okay? Please and thank you. Thank you and please. We've also got a lot of other great designs on that website as well. Also, go to the Patreon. We're patrons now. So go to patreon.com/thechairshot. And if you enjoy what we do and all the great content that we provide you, not just us, but all the great shows and minds of thechairshot.com, what better way to show your boy some love than to go to patreon.com/thechairshot. But as I said, man, we're literally on the road. The car's gassed up. The bags are packed. The tickets are paid for. It's that time, folks. We're here. WrestleMania season is upon us. And we've got a hell of a show lined up for you right now. I mean, we're going to talk a little Fastlane and Road to WrestleMania. There's been a Shelton Benjamin sighting. Like, who saw that one coming? A couple of legends are allegedly calling it quits. We're going to talk a little New Japan Cup. And, which, five-time world champion is now a two-time WWE Hall of Famer. But before we get into all of that, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Platt. Christopher, if you're nasty. That's right, Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. And as always, in order to navigate this journey, where would I be without my man, Andrew Belaz?
I like the way you mixed up that intro for a change, Christopher, if you nasty. That was good. That was a nice one.
I appreciate it. I saw a little bit of groans during my Jesus promo, too. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah, there were. It was reaching slightly, but you brought it home. You brought it home with the reason for the season, which you're right. That is the reason that Easter's a thing in Christianity. So good for you.
Yeah, I'm saying, was it really a reach or was it just because of our society you cringe? Like, I didn't really think it was a reach.
Given the fact that it's not exactly an Easter shirt, there's no rabbit, there's no pastel colors.
Why isn't it? What do bunnies and pastels have to do with it? Again, he is the reason for the season. The reason that Easter even exists is because Jesus did the job. How am I reaching?
I said, you're right. The way you brought it home was right, but I just wasn't sure where you were going with it. It's like I was kind of skeptical about the path and then the finish, you know. That was good. You tied it all up. It was pretty.
I ain't talking about chocolate bunnies and eggs and shit like that. It's, you know, the reason for the season, but whatever. Also, here...
Cadbury shit is good.
Said it again?
Said you should be. That Cadbury shit is good.
And I've been a big Cadbury egg fan.
Motherfucker.
I take this time an opportunity to get my jelly bean fix in for the season and for the year. So that's what...
I've been a jelly bean person. Okay, that makes sense.
Bro, have you ever had the Starburst jelly beans?
No, I have not.
They're crack. I recommend them. They're literally crack.
So where do you fall on the peeps? Yay or nay?
Nay, man.
All right, we agree on that one. All right, good. Yeah. Introduce the third piece of this puzzle.
And the third piece of this puzzle is, gentlemen, put your hands together and show your love for the one, the only, the commissioner himself, PC Tony.
Gentlemen, good evening.
Why are you bowing? They can't see you.
Good evening.
Like he had a whole physical act in his good evening and nobody can see it but us.
I think they got it.
It is the custom in Transylvania when you say good evening to bow.
I want to suck your blood.
No.
Okay, cool. How's everybody doing, by the way? Everybody's doing shitty, huh? Okay, hey, cool.
It depends. Tony, where do you fall on peeps?
On peeps?
Peeps, yay or nay?
Like the candy?
Yes, those shitty marshmallow birds.
I don't know. They're usually one of the last things to get eaten out of the Easter basket.
So, yay or nay?
I'll eat them.
Okay. Now, where do you fall on Christian's fans, the peeps?
They're great. I'm one of them.
Okay, just checking.
Balls, you have to remember, he's the moderator, so his whole gimmick is to be moderate. So, of course, he's not going to bury peeps.
That's a fair point.
I don't hate peeps. I don't like them. I don't hate them, and I don't like them. I'm sorry. They're in the middle. Sorry. But
yeah, that's moderate. That's what moderate means, sir.
But Christian's peeps are great.
Even when he was in TNA?
Well, let's put it that. I've never seen him in a minute. TNA, here, give me a t-shirt. TNA, you talk about it, okay? Talk about that. Actually, let me say something of significance with bringing up Christian. Folks, if you haven't watched season 2 of Edge and Christian show on WWE Network, do it. It's worth it. It's excellent. There's a whole bunch of guest appearances from a whole bunch of superstars you haven't seen in a while.
It totally reeks of awesomeness.
It actually did get a hell of a lot better. Like, they really found their stride, man, after that first season. Almost kind of like Pod is War. Like, you two finally caught up with my awesomeness, and now the show is awesome.
Yep, that's what happened.
No, literally, sure. That's what happened. Like, you two sons of bitches can be smug all you want to, but that's literally what happened.
It's fine. I don't mind being the Tommy Dreamer of season two. I'll do my little truffle shuffle or Dreamer Steamer, and I'll jiggle my belly on the way home.
Dreamer Steamer. That doesn't sound like anything I want any parts of whatsoever.
Don't fall asleep tonight, then.
Oh, Jesus. Now I won't. But yeah, gentlemen, though, seriously, man, before we get into the topics, this is literally my favorite time of the year. I mean, we've got the NCAA tournament about to pop off, WrestleMania season is upon us, and then when all that gets out the way, we start the NHL and the NBA playoffs. Plus, as growing up as a Midwestern boy, this is around the time when the snow finally starts to melt and the ladies start showing skin again. So this is it for me right now. It doesn't get any better than right now.
Well, aren't you lucky? I still got about another 3 months before skin happens, because in Jersey we've got like fall spring and third winter and this muddy, shitty season that we have to go through before we get to like pseudo summer for a month or two.
Well, didn't nobody tell you to move to Jersey? Like, that, you made that decision on your own, sir.
In Jersey. I haven't moved out yet. There's a difference.
Well,
I tax you on the way out.
I was born in Cleveland, but when I became of age, I got the fuck out of there.
I would too if I was born in Cleveland.
Hey,
if I was born in Jersey.
Hey, speaking of Cleveland, do you want some breaking news right here, Platt?
Burpity boop boop boop.
I already
Do you know the breaking news?
I do know the breaking news.
What's the breaking news?
Seeing as how I'm making my triumphant return to football this season, I'm low-key excited about it. Well, not even low-key. That's actually the highest of keys. I'm excited about it.
What's the breaking news?
Why don't you let him know? Like, you set it up and everything. I don't want to steal your thunder.
Andrew?
No, he said you do it. You do it. Don't cop out of it.
I feel like you guys don't know what it is.
What is it? I don't know.
Is it three letters that aren't RKO, but, you know, the O starts the name?
Is it a blonde black guy?
Is it a receiver?
Odell Beckham Jr. has been traded to the Browns. There you go.
Keyshawn Johnson's coming out of retirement. That's the breaking news.
Wait, Keyshawn? Keyshawn? I thought it was Steve Largent.
You know what? That's fuck you guys. One. Fuck you guys. Breaking news.
Delete!
No, so Odell Beckham has been traded to the Cleveland Browns. And goddammit, the Browns seem to be going for it, man. They signed Kareem Hunt. Now we've got Odell Beckham, who is legitimately a top five player in this league, and they're going for it. And I'm all here for it, man. It's exciting. It's ironic at the time that I'm making my triumphant return to football, they decided to get a team together and put an actual team together. So I'm excited about that, and I thank you, Cleveland Browns, for paving the way for me to come back to football. That's cool. You rolled out the red carpet for my return, and I appreciate it. And it's going to be an interesting season.
Yeah, too bad Hunt's not probably going to be playing until 2020, though.
The
Browns.
I think he'll be back probably week 10.
Do you think they're only going to give him 10 weeks for that?
Well, he missed 4 or 5 games last year, plus playoffs, so another half a season.
Yeah, but Josh Gordon was, like, suspended from the NFL for, like, 2 years for weed. This is a little worse.
But that's because Josh Gordon also failed like 86 drug tests.
Yeah, Josh Gordon's violations are like in the dozens.
Just saying. I feel this should harbor a little heavier of a penalty because of the severity and the way it's looked at in general.
Is it the severity or is it the video and the backlash? Because, well, I'm not even going to go there, man, because I have my thoughts on that whole incident, but I'm not going to go there. Let's just get into the topics. I ain't going there.
Yep, thank you, Chris, because I was kind of maybe going to go down the same path you were, to be honest.
So
let's get into this first, and then we'll get into topic number one.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Sierra Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield.
Gentlemen, a little bit of WWE soup this evening for topic number one. Coming off of Fastlane, the Shield triumphant, looking like the last time they're going to be together, or so the story says. There's a whole bunch of other things that didn't really happen at Fastlane. It was pretty much chalk if you were picking the pay-per-view, or whatever you want to call it. Things we know moving forward now. Kofi Kingston has an opportunity in a gauntlet match next week. AJ and RKO could be a thing. Obviously, we have Triple H and Batista. Shane and The Miz looking like something. Becky Lynch is now in because of Ronda's actions. And, of course, Seth and Brock Lesnar. Gentlemen, your thoughts on Fastlane and all of these other topics as we move towards WrestleMania this year?
Well, first of all, just kind of put the bow on the Fastlane thing. As far as the pay-per-view, it was meh. I didn't have high expectations going into it. I didn't really give a damn about it. I feel like it's just dead weight, but it is what it is. But it was cool for what it was. The Fatal 4-Way for the U.S. title, that was a great match. I was surprised that the Shield reunion didn't crack Andrew Belaz's top five matches of the week. But I, again, don't know why I should be surprised. He's basically just baby
it
melted.
Barely missed. Relax.
Barely missed. Cool. You know how many sperm barely missed to get your stinking ass here in existence?
And they were inferior.
I think of the matches, which, though, that we picked that still were actual matches on the card, Andrew had a perfect record.
I think you're right.
What did do good for you? Oh, well, we'll sound the trumpets and alert the townspeople.
Hey, Andrew,
who
Andrew.
Who gives a shit?
Andrew, ask me how many matches Platt got right.
Oh, how many did Platt get right?
None.
Ha-ha! That's because I didn't get my shit in on time, but I got them all right, goddammit.
You did not.
I certainly did. It's not my fault I couldn't get it in on time. I mean, it's kind of my fault, but not really.
Whose fault is it?
Here. Let me just...
I have 685 jobs, goddammit shit.
Listen, here's a public service announcement from me to anybody that would like to get their picks in on time. Here's when they need to be in. Generally, the Friday before the pay-per-views. That was supposed to be funny.
What's funny, though, I put my picks in Saturday morning, and then I hop on Twitter... And I see, like, 52 minutes after I had put my picks in, PC had already published the article.
I haven't even checked my email. I'm going to check right now and see if you actually put the picks in.
No, seriously. Like, yeah, I put my picks in, and then I hopped on Twitter, and I see your tweet talking about, oh, the staff picks are in for Fastlane, and it was, like, 52 minutes ago. It confirms the timeline now, doesn't it?
All right, so looking at Platt's, you know, last minute picks that didn't quite make the cut.
Let's see. Platt picked Daniel Bryan, which kind of was a win. He had Asuka, he had the Usos, he had the Revival, he had Sasha and Bayley, he had the Shield, he had Becky, and he had Rey. So it looks like he.
Yeah,
that's a perfect card, isn't it?
Yes.
Well,
it
for
is.
What actually happened, yes.
There you go.
Yes.
So
because the Rey one doesn't count.
Then I can 100% confirm, even though he didn't make the article, that on Saturday he emailed me this, and you both had perfect cards. So I don't want to show any favoritism.
Yeah, that's what moderators do. That's what moderates do. But suck balls.
You are just really going dictionary mode on the fucking word moderate today, aren't you?
Hey man, I read books every now and again. I like to use them.
That better be the title of the damn show. That's what moderate means, or something like that.
Or I could piece those two sound bites together. Suck balls, balls. I read books.
That's actually a good one. I like that.
So, Fastlane, yeah, it was a ho-hum pay-per-view, but it did do a lot to move us along our road to WrestleMania. I'm digging the Ronda Hill turn. This is more aligned with who I see her as, so I'm digging her being a lot more who she is. Obviously, the Kofi storyline has been progressed, and we'll get into that a little bit as well. The Shield reunion, it was cool for what it was. I thought it was a damn good match, but it was nice to see the band back together one last time. And basically, this pay-per-view was nothing more than a setup into the WrestleMania matches. It was totally unnecessary, but, you know, it is what it is. Here we are. One thing that I wanted to point out, well, a couple of things I wanted to point out. Number one, I can't remember, and I might just be biased because I'm not going to be able to make it this year for the first time in 4 years, but it feels like this WrestleMania build is a lot litter than a lot of previous WrestleManias. Like, they have legitimately, like, 4 or 5 hot-ass angles going into this Mania. And not only do we have a legitimate 4 or 5 hot-ass angles going into Mania, goddammit, we've got a motivated Randy Orton going into the Mania. I mean, that promo that he and AJ cut on each other at SmackDown, that was fist grease. So there's a lot going on here. And you know, I can't remember the last time that we've had a Mania card this hot heading into it. So I'm excited about that. Something else that I'm going to point out.
Before you transition, can I just hit my favorite spot? Because I agree with you on that promo they cut back and forth, even though Randy slipped up on one of his first couple sentences, but he recovered beautifully. I think it was AJ said something about ripping off the diamond cutter, knockoff diamond cutter, and Orton's like, let's see. Like, you and your indie buddies have never ripped anything off, and he put this too sweet sign up. I was like, that was money exchange right there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Perfect.
That was awesome. And I'm not Andrew, man. I don't shit on people if they flub a line here or there or they miss a move here or there, because that's real life. Like, how many times do we flub lines? You know, I flub lines all the time, but the passion was there.
Well, and I edit the show. I never flub anything.
That's because you edit the show. But but the passion was there. And I like how WWE with these feuds, this was my second point, how they're playing with kayfabe. Like, there's a lot of meta shit happening in these storylines right now, and I feel as if they're using the knowledge that we think that we have against us to build heat for these storylines, and that's cool. I kind of like where the business is at right now, and this is shaping up to be a damn fine Mania. Balls, I have more to say, but go ahead and get in there, man, because I'm sure you'll say some dumb shit and I'll have to correct you on it.
Which way did he go, George? Which way did he go?
See, we started from the beginning. So first and foremost...
Shut the fuck up. No, but okay, so I actually gave the pay-per-view a pretty decent score because I was impressed with it. And very similarly to your co-host on Chairshot Radio, I like the fact that it built into itself and everything kind of flowed nicely, with the exception of the unnecessary handicap match. Elias's crap got really, really annoying after a while. And
really? Hold on, man. You didn't like the Elias stuff. I thought that was great. I thought it was a great heat magnet, and he was really good in what he said. You didn't like that at all.
After the first one, I didn't mind it. But then the fact that it turned into exposition by song after everything kind of big happened, and it's like, we just watched this. I don't fucking need you doing this crap. And
I liked it. It almost reminded me of a Quentin Tarantino movie. Like, I see
where you're getting with it. I do.
You know what I mean? Like, that's some shit that would happen in a Tarantino movie. Like, he'd have a narrator to kind of narrate the course and everything that we've seen. But go ahead.
But I get your point. I don't disagree with your analogy. But I didn't like it personally. And I hated the women's tag match. Like, that was just sloppy left and right. And that just bothered me. But the rest of the show, it flowed nicely. You know, the fact that... I'm just going to bring this up because I know you may want to say some nasty things about Heelsuke because of what he did. because that
was, so you really did listen to Cheer Shout Radio.
Like, you think, man, I was just messing with you when you thought, yes, I should listen to it?
Yes, I was, but thank you for your support, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, yeah, there we go. But yes, yeah, so, you don't need to listen. It's fine. But, no, so like Heelsuke and Rusev, you know, with the New Day, the interference later after the handicap match, the fact that even stupid shit like making it a triple threat, continuing to make the main event or the WWE match a main event, triple threat. It's just, it worked nicely. Some of it was overbooked. Some of it was unnecessary because Vince didn't have to tweak so much so often, but nothing really, it didn't hurt the show, I guess is kind of what I'm trying to say, with the exception of like the handicap match that made no sense and the bad women's tag. But as a show, generally, it flowed really well. So I think I gave it like a 7.5, which that's pretty damn good.
Well, the handicap match made sense because it was just furthering the storyline to screw Kofi. Like, and Patrick and I, we went back and forth on this because, you know, when the triple threat match happened with Mustafa Ali, when he came out, he was kind of, Patrick O'Dowd was kind of shitting on that a little bit from the Greg DeMarco show. And I told him, I was like, well, that's the exact heat that they want. They want the This Is Boring Chance and the Kofi Champs, because that's what this is about. Like, this is an off-brand pay-per-view. They don't give a damn about making no money in Cleveland. I mean, shout out to Cleveland. It's my hometown. I love you. Shout out to Slimans Deli, Hot Sauce Williams, Whitmore's, and all, yada, Mr. Chicken, yada, yada, yada.
But we're not Detroit.
They don't care. We're not Detroit. We're not Detroit. But yeah, but I mean, they don't give a damn about this off-brand pay-per-view, and it was all about building heat and moving along the storyline to WrestleMania. On a side note, and I confronted Patrick O'Dowd with this, but I also have to confront you with this, Mr. Belaz. I am so sick and goddamn tired of you and Patrick flooding my Twitter timelines with those goddamn stupid-ass Funko Week retreats, okay? You're not going to win one. Hey, just buy
if
one.
All you have to do is retweet to get a free one, that's a click. If it's for free, it's for me. Don't you understand how this works? I don't even care what it is. I don't even own Funko. Oh, no, I lie. I have one because I got it as a gift. And funny enough, the one Funko I own is the box set of the New Day. So that's the only fucking pops I own.
I heard they're coming out with a clear John Cena Funko Pop.
Oh, because you can't see him. I get it. But
how's that working out for you? How many free Funkos have you received via retweetings?
Hey, you can't win if you don't try.
God damn it, you could have bought one by now.
Stop. I've already explained this. The only ones I own, I got as a Christmas present. I don't want them, but if it's free, I don't mind having it. Then I can give it to somebody else who actually wants it.
Platt, it sounds like he's fishing for Christmas presents right now. Just move on.
Okay.
And what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I just get sick of seeing goddamn Funko.
What's up with that?
That's all. That's where I'm at. I'm just sick of seeing it. You're not going to win. And Patrick, Les, you're not going to win Funko either, sir. Pop. Neither one of you are going to win.
I'll take a week off of doing it just for your sanity, okay?
Right.
No, I can do that. Starting now. So from this pot is word to the next one, I won't retweet Funko Pop shit.
Oh, you can do that?
I can do that, yes. Buffy and Buffy were so then you'll have even less people flooding your timeline.
I thought it was more of a Julia Child thing there. Oh, I'll take the carrots and put them in the stew.
I can do that.
Ooh. Could have been pups aren't food, and I didn't know where to go with Julia Child's.
I call it a carrot and onion beef stew heart.
Anywho, getting back to Fastlane and transitioning into Mania, because they frankly bleed together. What do you think about the build to Mania thus far?
It's been good. It's all logical progression from what we saw at Fastlane with Shane turning and not Miz turning, which is perfect because Miz has been a very lovable, goofy, comedy-like babyface. Like, this whole no-one-else-believed-in-him bestie kind of thing, that's fantastic. Plus, he's got the TV show, so it ingratiates him a little more to the public, and he's got another one on the way, so you really can't boo a guy who's got a pregnant wife. I mean, we've seen that a couple times where he's going to get cheered regardless because baby's on the way. Maurice might show up a little pregnant. He might bring the baby out. People just cheer for that. So that was really good. I like the way they're going with, you know, the members of the Shield. It all makes sense. The Kurt Angle thing you alluded to, we'll hit to later.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Yes. 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 I don't know. Like, there's so much going on. It's hard to kind of just encapsulate it all right now, especially because SmackDown is kind of fresh in our minds. So it's just wrapping our heads around everything that could be. I like the wrinkle of Rey pinning Joe. So I know last week there was a rumor going around that Cena might be facing Joe for the U.S. title. Now it might end up being Rey. Who knows?
But, yeah, because it was weird because it feels like that's where they were building. Because if not, the whole R-Truth thing and then Joe, you know, referencing Cena after the fact, that doesn't make sense. But it does feel like they possibly might be going in a different direction. But let me ask you, what feud or program are you most impressed with during this build?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I know, that's why I asked it.
I know, I'm happy for that. The one I'm most impressed with is probably the Becky Charlotte Ronda one, just because it feels the most organic, because they're, as you pointed out with other promos, even in this, they break the fourth wall a little bit. They feed into what the IWC has been saying and the things that people think they know, where Charlotte must be listening to like Greg DeMarco or must read his shit when she brought up the whole, you're in my main event, you know, you've been hot for 6 months. And I'm pretty sure Greg said that verbatim, like over the last couple weeks. So
hey, it's not just Greg. Your co-host has also been saying that. Like, give me my flowers.
But I'm figuring that Rhonda just follows you because she decided to just fuck it and give in to herself.
Way to bring it home. That was complete other bullshit.
But hey, you're trying to put yourself over? I didn't even get around to the whole thing, so relax. And no, so yeah, the women's match is probably the best. And then I guess the only other one that I'm really excited for right now, and it's not even official, would be the possible Drew Roman match that it looks like they're hinting to after Raw.
You know, I alluded to this earlier. There's been a lot of fourth wall breaking. I mean, obviously with the women's situation, like that's been the most out front. But I feel like even with the Kofi situation, they've been breaking the fourth wall. Obviously, the promo that AJ and Randy cut this week, that was very fourth wall breaking. PC alluded to that earlier. And the Triple H and Dave Bautista program, that's been very fourth wall as well. Like they're playing with that line right now, and I'm digging it because it's very difficult to get legitimate heat nowadays because we think we know more than we do. And like I said earlier, they're playing what we think we know against us to draw heat, and I'm digging it. Kudos to WWE. I don't, now, granted, this just could be because it's Mania, and typically they always kind of turn on the gas when it comes to Mania time, and, you know, next year this time, or next January, or December, or November, I'll be But as of right now, I'm intrigued. To quote Poppy from Highly Questionable, see, I'm very intrigued.
Oh, yes, you're listening to my son's radio show on the ESPN network.
See? Oh, no.
Let me ask both of you gentlemen, man, when was the last time that we had a WrestleMania build that had this much heat overall? Because I honestly, I want to go back to maybe at 17, and granted, I may be a prisoner of the moment and recency bias, but I don't remember a WrestleMania having this much heat in a long-ass time.
Well,
like what in general?
Depends on why. Because what was it? The Roman Undertaker one, was that 2 years ago? That had a decent amount of heat to it. The 30 with Brian had a decent amount of heat. I can't remember the build to it exactly, though.
But in totality, I'm not talking about like a specific match. I'm talking about across the board. I mean, the women's triple threat main event, that's hot as fish grease. The Kofi Kingston angle, that's hot as fish grease. The Orton AJ Styles, they added some gasoline to that fire right now. The Batista Triple H thing, that's hot. And you brought up the Roman Drew McIntyre thing. That's kind of hot. And I feel like I'm forgetting one as well. But I mean, there's just there's a lot of feuds out there right now that are hot, and they're doing a really good job of telling stories. A little convoluted. I mean, if you wanted to nitpick and talk about like continuity issues and this and that, we could do that. But the bottom line is, there's a lot of hot angles right now heading into Mania, and I don't remember the last time we've had this many hot angles heading into Mania.
To be fair, I didn't follow the older Manias as closely as I have been last couple years, since it's more my job now, so that's probably part of my reason not being able to pull it up. But there must be some. But this is still a very good build. It's still very hot from the top to the bottom, regardless of what kicks off the show. Even something as innocuous as the Usos versus the Hardys, if they have that, or if they make it into like a clusterfuck with ladders, people still love ladder matches. So like, the only things that might be kind of shitty on Mania are the Rumbles, because they never really tickle anybody's balls. You know what I mean?
PC, what do you think? Because I can't think in the last 10 years of a Mania that has had multiple feuds build that has been this hot going into it.
I have trouble associating which match was with which Mania, especially within like the last 2-3 years or within 2-3 years of each other. But I'm guessing the Mania, especially when Daniel Bryan went on, you know, to defeat Orton and Batista and Triple H or whatever, that whole thing, that Mania probably had a lot of good stuff. How about the Mania where it wasn't even a main event or anything, where Vince, wasn't that where Vince and Trump were going at it? That Mania had to have something going on pretty good. Mayweather was at a Mania. Flair's retirement Mania.
None of those have been within the last 10 years, sir.
Well, the Daniel Bryan one.
Daniel Bryan one.
Okay, with the exception of the Daniel Bryan one. Okay.
I'm just kind of moving backwards there, you know. So.
Okay.
I'll definitely give you last 5 years. This is probably the best one. I'll probably definitely give you that.
Listen, I did say before, when we were waiting, before we got going here, Andrew and I said, this is a pretty damn good card that I haven't seen in a while. I did say that.
And I feel like I'm just pissy because I'm not going to be able to make it to Mania for the first time in 4 years. So, of course, they'd put on a bomb-ass Mania. So I feel as if I have a little bit of a FOMO.
Start calling
you. I got some FOMO going on.
That's fair. Noah. So maybe that's what it was. They just knew you were showing up to the last four, so they fucking, you know, sandbagged a little bit. And they're like, oh, good. Chris isn't going to be at this one. Let's do another good one.
That's Noah right there. The seas got heavy, so they threw him over the boat and everything was fine. Stay in that whale, Chris Platt.
So is there anything else? Because, I mean, obviously we're going to be talking about these topics for the next 3 weeks, but is there anything else that is pertinent or somebody just has to get off their chest?
I'm good.
Hold on. Let me check my notes here before we move on. Let's see. Fastlane.
Riveting podcasting.
When's the last time WrestleMania had this much heat? Brenda seems more comfortable as a heel. That's lame. Okay, yeah, I'm good. Question 2.
Wait, wait.
Ain't no stopping me, no! You can't rob with me, no stopping. You can't rob with me, no stopping. You can't rob with me, you're dropping. Ain't no stopping me, no! You can't rob with me, no stopping. You can't rob with me, no stopping. You can't rob with me, you're dropping. Ain't no stopping me, no! Going for it all, just trying to be the best.
The association now of Paul Heyman with Shelton Benjamin, bringing back thoughts of the old Minnesota stretching crew, Brock Lesnar and Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin looks pretty damn good wrestling. It seems like if they actually put something behind him, he could become somewhat of a main event, in my opinion. Gentlemen, how do you feel about Shelton Benjamin coming back, his association with Brock Lesnar, and how they clearly pointed that out, and possibly being with Paul Heyman in the future with the Brock Lesnar being gone? You think that could help or hinder him?
Dude, it's going to be fantastic. Shelton Benjamin is amazing. Like, we didn't really get to see a ton of it in WWF because he was mostly a tag guy. And that's what most people remember him for. Or they remember just his mama coming out a lot when, you know, he was the gold standard and that whole kind of goofy last year or so. But after he left WWF, he kind of put on a little more bulk, showed what he could do. He spent time in Pro Wrestling Noah and New Japan at different points in time. And I personally got more of an appreciation for his athleticism and seeing him on more of a main event stage. Now, I think he was supposed to be pushed a little better when he was supposed to come back the first time. And then didn't he like break his leg or something like that? Shoulder, leg. He got some kind of injury that like put him on the shelf for like 8 months. And then I think they just brought him back, you know, late. They didn't really have an idea for him. So he kind of just languished in the middle of nothing. But he's still in great shape. He's still got a great pedigree. He's a great amateur wrestler. The association with Heyman works because Raw's going to need another heel, so to speak, when Brock is finally done, whenever the hell that is, or when he takes some time completely away. And who better than Shelton? Give him a couple weeks of building him up against some of the bigger names to prove he still can hang, and then make him an intercontinental, you know, player, make him a lower main card kind of player, an intercontinental player. Yes, yes, Mr. Moderator. And it's just, Shelton's got every tool. Granted, he is a little weak on the mic. It was never his strong suit, but then Heyman covers that up perfectly. So Shelton is in a great position right now. It's just if they want to use him in the way he should be used. Platt?
Wow, y'all took this totally differently than I took it. I looked at Shelton as an hired gun in this particular point in time. And going back to what I said in topic number one, how WWE has been brushing up against that fourth wall and they've been playing on our knowledge or perceived knowledge against us to draw heat. I mean, it's the same thing here. Like, there's obvious synergy there. Like, him and Brock, they were college teammates. They were buddies. They trained together, and I believe they were even roommates down at OVW when they were both training. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that Shelton Benjamin is actually the godfather to Brock's first child. So there's obviously chemistry there. I don't know how close they are now because, you know, situations and circumstances and people go their separate ways. I don't know how close they are now, but they do have a history there. And I think that they were playing up on that and kind of breaking that fourth wall type thing. I don't know if this is going to be a permanent thing with him and Paul Heyman. I think this was just I think this was more of a, again, playing up that fourth wall thing. As far as Shelton in general, I mean, the man is incredible in the ring. Like, you can't take that past him. And it's a couple of things. To WWE's credit, they did try some things with him. Like, the things that they tried with him were a little ill-conceived. Because they did try the mama thing, playing off the, what is it, Donovan McNabb, Campbell Super commercial. And then they dyed his hair blonde. But I think ultimately what killed him, and this kills me to say it because this guy is my guy, which is Shawn Mike. Y'all know how I feel about Shawn Mike. But do you guys remember, like, back in Raw around the late 2000s, Shawn Mike and Shelton, they had a series of matches together. And I felt like when Shawn came back for his second run, he kind of played the role somewhat of gatekeeper. And I feel like he was in a position to give a yay or nay. And for whatever reason, I'm not going to speculate on reasons. I could, but I'm not going to. I feel like Shawn gave him the nay. And that's why they never went further with Shelton. And Shelton, he's one of these interesting characters. He's very similar to like a Dean Malenko or a Brad Armstrong, where guys that, from all accounts, from the wrestlers themselves backstage, they're, you know, super charming, super entertaining, funny dudes, but it never translated to on screen. And I was a big MVP, his podcast. I would listen to that from time to time, and Shelton would be on there quite a bit because they're homies. And Shelton came across he was very charming, he was very likable, he was very articulate, he was funny, and that charisma shone through. For whatever reason, it never translated to the screen. And I don't put that all on him, but it just is what it is. And yeah, I don't see this being anything more than just a one-off. I know Shelton is positioning for something bigger, which as well he should, because frankly, he's still one of the best workers in the business. But I don't see this more as just a one-off. And WWE, as I explained in the first topic, playing off that fourth wall and playing into our preconceived notions.
It could be. You bring up a good point there. I would personally just like to see it be something, especially with how defensive it seemed like after the quote-unquote phone call with Brock Lesnar, he got about Shelton and information being leaked, and there was apparently an exclusive WWE like 2-minute snippet of after the match where Heyman and Benjamin were standing up there. I didn't really get to see the whole thing because of timing for the other podcast I'm on after Raw and work, so I really didn't get a chance to look at it, but it looked like they were standing side by side. So you might be onto something where it's just kind of like a little rub to the camera, so to speak, into the fourth wall break. But it's hard not to hope for something more, because Raw needs a better heel that can throw people around and be legitimate, because it ain't Baron Corbin. That he's fucking nothing. Like, Drew McIntyre is fantastic. That's great. Drew versus Shelton would be fantastic at, like, some pinnacle point where they're trying to basically vie for who's big dog, who's main heel. And that would be nice. And Shelton's big problem is he really can't talk all that well. And you're right. On the MVP podcast, he comes off very charismatic. Shit, in his tweet battles with Mia Yim, because they're, like, best friends, he roasts her constantly. Those two go back and forth with some of the funniest fucking tweets you'll ever see. But you don't see it relate or resonate or translate or anything. Like, I was just going through a litany of words.
But, I beg your pardon. You know, I'm rubbing off on you. Go for it.
But you don't see any of that on TV, and Heyman can fix that, because Shelton will never have to actually speak unless it's really important, because that's the beauty of the Brock thing. Brock used to cut a decent promo, then Heyman started doing all his talking for him, but whenever Brock opens his mouth, people shut up, and people take notice of the fact that, oh, Brock is speaking, so this must actually be important to him if he's going to be like, no, I got this. So if that same kind of vibe can come off with Shelton, that would be awesome.
So a couple things. Number one, none of us really know what Brock Lesnar's contractual status to WWE really is. Because remember, we got on these very airwaves last year and thinking that he was done after the Jam in the Sand part one, and lo and behold, a year later, here we are.
Apparently, his contract is supposed to run out after, well, I'm not going to say what you said to describe it, but the global event in May.
The Jam in the Sand. Say Jam in the Sand.
Global
say
event.
Say Jam in the Sand.
Global event.
Say it. Jam in the Sand.
Global event.
Jam in the Sand.
There ain't nothing wrong with Jam in the Sand.
Global event.
A.K.A. Jam in the Sand. But, but we thought that last year this time, so we don't know shit about it.
But it was, because then they released the whole he re-signed with that buttery contract of he gets like $750,000, you know, for just showing up or whatever.
Who released that, sir? I didn't see that report.
All right, you know who released it. It was either Keller or Meltzer probably released it.
Precisely.
At some point. Which means it could be bullshit. Yes, you're right. Yeah. But at least it's the information we're playing with. Do we ever really know anything? No, because it's whatever WWE wants us to know.
Balls. That's my goddamn point.
I get you.
That's literally my point. You don't have to say what I'm going to say better than what you're trying to say what I say.
I see what you're saying.
I don't anymore.
It's like a CNC. Does somebody need to pull the lever? Pull the lever. What does the cow say?
The cow says, moo.
No, the cow says, bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch,
oh, God.
Bitch, I'm a cow. I'm not a cat. I don't say meow. Bitch, I'm a cow.
I'm so happy that song wasn't that huge.
How about this one? What does the fox say?
I don't think we
speak. No, you never heard that song?
I don't think PC knows of what we speak.
No, I was bringing up some different one.
But do you know that stupid bitch on my cow song?
Stupid
You're
bitch on my cow
talking
song.
Talking to PC, right? Like, literally, I started singing it, so you know I...
Yeah. No, not you. I'm talking to PC, yeah. PC, do you know the bitch on my cow song?
The bitch on my cow song.
He does not. Okay, there we go.
Oh, number two, though, before we move on to topic
that is the
three.
Number we're on, yes.
Thank you, because clearly I don't have 10 fingers and 10 toes and have no idea how to count, even though I've been reading since I was 2. Okay, cool.
I mean,
so,
you
might
not. There could have been a horrible accident. We don't do this live together. What do I know? You could be deformed. Oh, my God.
We're literally live together right now, so that made no sense. But anyway, number two.
In the same room, shush. This is over Skype.
I knew a girl in grade school that had 6 fingers on one hand.
Yeah, you might have webbed toes for all we know, motherfucker.
Well, Olympic swimmers.
I wonder what a 6-fingered hand job would feel like. You set me up for that. That's your fault.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You jerked off my father. Prepare to die.
Platt, I wonder too.
I'm just saying, man. You could take the 5 fingers and jerk the shaft, and you have an extra finger to tickle the balls. Like, that sounds like an intriguing proposition.
How does balls like being tickled?
I don't mind it.
Jesus. I was talking about my balls, not balls.
Yeah, I know.
We're specific enough.
Anywho, number two, because this kind of plays along with the number two. I'm pretty sure Shelton Benjamin and Mia Yim, they got down with the get down. At some particular point in time.
She might have. She's with Keith Lee right now, so.
Yeah, I know her and Keith Lee are a thing, and shout out to Keith Lee. I don't want no issues with Keith Lee, but I'm pretty sure they got down with the get down.
It's very possible, yes.
What are they doing in developmental with Keith Lee and Matt Riddle? I mean, I guess they're kind of setting up for a push with Matt Riddle, seeing as how he got the whole autobiography, documentary, WWE Network thing. But, you know, they're two guys that I think they have the opportunity to be big stars, and they're a little older than a lot of the other talent that they have down there in developmental. And you would think, just from a economic standpoint, that you kind of want to get those two guys up on the main roster ASAP to try to maximize their potential. Because, I mean, let's keep it a buck, man. They're both, you know, mid to late 30s. They're probably not going to be around for the next 10 years. So you might want to kind of do what you can to get them up on the main roster to get the return, the most bang for your buck, or the most return on your investment.
Well, I feel like the Keith Lee situation is just the fact that they haven't had a good program for him to stick him anywhere yet. So he's still kind of on the back burner. But Riddle just kind of threw his hat into the whole NA title scene with Dream, because he interrupted Dream on the last NXT TV to basically just say, bro. And we know what that means.
Well, I think they're positioning Keith Lee to have a program with Dokic at the, I think I'm saying his name right, at the next NXT TakeOver. And if that's the case,
Djokovic or whatever it is, yeah.
Whatever. But if that's the case, I went to the NXT house show out here, and him and Keith Lee, they had a hell of a big man match. So if that's where we're going for TakeOver, I'm here for that. I can smoke a bag of that.
Man, you have to figure that's probably Keith Lee's Cassius Ohno match right there. Because how many times did Matt Riddle have to beat Cassius Ohno before he's being considered for even the secondary singles title? So I guess it's just a way to kind of establish them with the WWE crowd and get them used to how to wrestle WWE style. Since if it's one thing I've heard consistently from indie guys that either came from the indies or came from TNA or something like that, the way WWE makes you position yourself in the ring to like face the camera or emote certain ways are not the same as any other company that they've ever wrestled for. So there is a learning curve.
Well, with all due respect to Cassius Ohno, I think Djokovic has a much bigger upside than he ever did, because I think this is an opportunity to get both guys over, because he's a big guy, but he's super athletic and he gets his shit in. So I think, like I said, this is an opportunity for both guys to get over in this particular situation, because just from that one house show match that I watched, Keith Lee was already over with me, obviously, you know, brothers. But, I mean, but Djokovic got over with me as well, and it was an opportunity. Like, Djokovic did the job, but both guys in the midst of that match got over with me. So I think this is an opportunity to elevate both guys. But we'll see what happens. And I don't even know how we got here.
I don't either, but that's the beauty of how this show works sometimes. Number three.
You dig it, sucker? Oh, it's on like neck bone. Fruit booty. Shout out to Stevie Ray. Yeah, because I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to do my thing. Can you dig that sucker? We going to get in that ring and we going to tear it up. Can you dig it, sucker? So where does the theme rank with you? Top five.
I see what you did there. Yeah.
Yes.
So really I can tell from your, you know, you're just going along with the song and singing and dancing and grooving and whatever the hell else the rest that was. You're pretty happy about this announcement, huh?
I am, and really the theme is probably like top 10 or 15, but I had to go with the gimmick. But yes, I'm very excited about this announcement. For those that don't know, apparently the moderator chose not to moderate on this topic, but the tag team of the 90s and my personal fave, the Harlem Heat from 110th Street in Harlem, actually from Houston, Booker T. Huffman and Stevie Ray Huffman, are going into the WWE Hall of Fame. And yes, Mr. Belaz, I am very excited about this announcement because, like I said earlier, Harlem Heat, it was my favorite tag team of all time, and I'm excited that they're getting acknowledged. And we talked about this a little bit because WWE clearly has a formula with their Hall of Fame. They like to get a woman in there. They like to get an old school character in there. And they like to get their black in there. And we talked about who the black was going to be this year because they're kind of running out of options at this particular point in time. And lo and behold, they pull out the Harlem Heat from their ass. And I'm excited about that.
Poor S.T. Jones has to wait until next year.
Maybe UPS will deliver his invitation by a special delivery.
I see what you did there. But yeah, no, I was a big fan of WCW growing up. So Harlem Heat was always one of the top ones for me. I'm trying to actually think, like, Harlem Heat was probably my favorite tag in WCW. Then it was the Steiner Brothers. Then probably whoever the hell Buff was tagging with at the time. Like, the American Males had a corny fucking theme song, but, you know, Buff was a good hand in the ring for WCW, and, like, him and Luger were good together, him and Steiner were good together, so can't really knock that. But yeah, Harlem Heat was fantastic. I loved when Booker would do the old Harlem Hangover, which now in retrospect is just like a really slow forward flipping like leg drop, I think is what it was.
Or off it was the top rope though.
Yeah, it was, but like off it looked cool. Rope. The way he did it, it just looked a lot cooler than any kind of like front flip senton or kind of thing like that, because it was slower, and because he's not a short dude, there was something like that just flowed about it, and every time he hit it, they went to sleep. And I miss when they stopped doing that. I guess, you know, he got a little older. It started banging up his body a little bit. But that was still a great finish for him.
Booker doesn't get props that he deserves. Obviously, with the black delegation, Booker is a deity in our eyes. But I don't feel like he really gets the credit that he deserves. I feel like he needs to be included as one of the fathers of this generation. And we're going to talk about that with another topic moving on. I don't want to get too much into that, but I feel like he didn't really get his propers as an in-ring performer. And PC, perhaps you can fact check for this for me, man. I believe that Booker T has won more titles than any wrestler, period. And perhaps, like I said, you can Google fact check that for me, but I think that's a thing. Like, he's won more
Jerry
titles
the King Lawler.
My research has come back inconclusive.
Yeah, I really think it was Booker. Like, I think Booker has won more titles.
We know Lawler has over 100 titles. I'm pretty sure it's Lawler.
I'm pretty sure it's Booker T. But either way, like, you might be right. Like, but either way, I don't feel he gets the props that he deserves. Because, like, you alluded to, Balls, he isn't a small man. Like, he's legitimate 6'3", 250-pound guy. And this dude was doing, you know, top rope moves. And he was hanging with the Cruiserweights in WCW. And, you know, I appreciate his WWE run, and I'm sure he appreciates it because he made more money than he ever did. But again, he deserves props because the first 2 years that he was in that company, they literally buried him. I mean, granted, he did headline a SummerSlam with The Rock, but that was just more about getting the WCW title on a WWE guy. Like, they literally buried him. Yeah. And then WrestleMania 19, they really buried him. But yet and still, despite all of that, he was still able to get over with the crowd and get over and succumb and become a world champion. And I think that's just a testament to how damn good he really was. I mean, this dude was in the deep fucking South and got over solely based on in-ring ability. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, these two black guys in the middle of the South, and they got over on in-ring ability. And, you know, with the tag team as well as, you know, his singles run. And he's very innovative as well. It's a lot of innovative things that he does, like that scissor kick that R-Truth did, like that's a Booker T original. The Bree White nasal strips, that's a Booker T original. And the cutting the promo into the camera as you walk to the ring, which John Cena has made famous, that was a Harlem Heat original. So I'm glad that these guys get an opportunity to get their flowers while they smell them, and I'm ecstatic about this.
No, I agree with you completely. And the only thing I could see that was probably why people were/are down on him is that he got his title reigns when WCW was dying. I mean, I think at some point, like, Scott Steiner almost held the belt for a year. So any kind of title reign between 2000 and 2001 from most, you know, the IWC kind of crowd just sees it as meh, like it doesn't matter, like, you know, that they minimize it. And Booker, sadly, before the fall of WCW, was more just a tag team specialist than mid-card guy.
Because he was over, though.
He had
US title run, and I'm talking about his matches that he got over. Obviously, he had, everybody knows, the best seven series that he had with He Who Shall Not Be Named. He had good matches with Eddie Guerrero. He had good matches with Bret Hart. Obviously, the Harlem Heat, you could put them in the Steiners on, and that could have been anywhere in the world, brother. He had a good match with the Outsiders, him and the Nasty Boys, the Public Enemy. All of them have good matches. But Booker T was over like Rover. Now, granted, they only put the title on him because they had a racial discrimination lawsuit against them, which that sucks that that's why they chose to put the title on him. And again, you know, WCW was on its last legs, but I mean, that's an America thing, man. When shit's about to die, y'all like, fuck it, man, put the black in there. Like, y'all did that with literally America in 2008, but that's neither here nor there. But that's neither here nor there, but that doesn't negate the fact that this motherfucker was a great-ass wrestler, and he doesn't get the props that he deserves, and I'm so happy that he, along with HBK and Ric Flair, are now two-time WWE Hall of Famers. Obviously, that list is going to expand. Like, Triple H is probably going to get in there 3 or 4 times. HBK will probably get in there 3 times. Rick will probably get in there another time, you know, because of Evolution and whatnot. But as of right now, the only three two-time WWE Hall of Famers are Shawn Mike, Ric Flair, and Booker T, and I'll take it.
So wait, if you think Shawn's getting in there, that means you think Party Jannetty's getting in there at some point because Shawn's going to go in as a rocker?
That's exactly what I'm saying, yes. Because wow. They're going to run out of people. So Party's going to get the call because they're running out of people.
It's going to be party time at the Hall of Fame?
Party time. Oh, it's
I don't
party
think our moderator time. Likes that answer.
And friend of the show, Party Jannetty. I've partied with Party Jannetty, so yeah. That's why I say friend of the show.
It's Platt's friend. It's fine.
So I got against Party Jannetty. What am I missing?
He tried to run away through a window. How cowardly is that? Come on. What a bitch.
I love that dick.
That's all you got? That's a Tuesday in my world.
That's a good way to end the question and move on to the next one.
An aerial sensation.
Everyone in this locker room is a rival.
Faces a rising star.
I was ready a long time ago.
In a special champion versus champion match, Jay White squares off against Will Ospreay at New Japan's 47th anniversary event.
Jay White, oh my God!
All new 2-hour special, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Friday on Access TV.
Andrew, catch us up on all the big things that are happening over in Japan, in New Japan, as not only here in the States it's heating up on the road to WrestleMania, but also across the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, yeah, because we're on the road to WrestleMania, but Japan is technically on the road to G1 Supercard. New Japan is, not all of Japan. And what we know for G1
They're
Supercard...
They're on the road to Benihana.
It's Madison Square Garden. You stop it. That's bigger than a Benihana. Don't you dare diss MSG.
Shit, I'm talking shit, man. Like, yeah, I'm talking shit, man. I got to get these jokes in. But go ahead.
I know you do. But so we've got the champion versus champion for G1 Supercard. We got the Briscoes versus Guerrillas of Destiny. Both titles are up for grabs. Winners, double champions. We've got the IWGP Championship in a triple threat. It's Taiji Ishimori, the Bone Soldier from Bullet Club, against Dragon Lee, who... People who don't follow CMLL or Fantastica Mania stuff will know Dragon Lee as the guy that broke Hiromu Takahashi's neck by doing the shitty Phoenix Plex. Like that's what people kind of know him as if you don't follow it that well. And the third one in that is Bandido, who some people may know. He's a little more obscure. He's, you know, done CMLL, AAA. He's done ROH stuff. He's very good. Like, he's an up-and-coming high flyer. So that's just going to be a spotty but fun match. When it comes down to other things, like that commercial alluded to the anniversary show. That was really good. We saw Bone Soldier against Jushin Thunder Liger for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. And Liger lost, but given the fact that Liger is...
Whoa. We're going to get into that next topic.
No. This is not what I'm talking about. It's the anniversary match where Liger lost the match. That's what I was going to say. I said, given the fact that he lost, but he's 53, it was still a really damn good match, given his age and the discrepancy. So I know what you're getting at. I was not going to talk about that. So
Think you were, but okay, cool.
I wasn't going to because I knew what we were talking about for the next thing. You stop it.
So who's going to win the New Japan Cup? God damn it!
Oh, fine. You want me to get to that point?
No. Oh, I didn't realize you had a whole soliloquy planned out. Please, my bad, man. Let me lay back and let you do your thing.
Hey, I was almost done anyway because I'm gonna say that Ospreay Jay White match is actually really good. So people need to stop shitting on Jay White. But whatever. Are you asleep? Oh, it's so sweet. Listen to the somber sounds of the Chris Platt on the couch with the headset on. We see the Platt. Christopher, you're nasty. He is snoring like a water bottle.
Did you say a water? Did you call me a water buffalo, Bella Barbara?
I said you were snoring like a water buffalo. Yes. But all right, so first round in New Japan Cup is done. Most of the lower tier people are out. We've only got one member of LIJ left, and that's Sanada. Minoru Suzuki is still in it. Okada is still in it, of course. Tanahashi had a great match against the Young Lions, Shota Umino. That was great. And the standout match from round one was Platt's favorite Japanese guy,
Kota Ibushi. You don't say.
Against Tetsuya Naito. It was also a fantastic match.
Bring up that was my prediction to win the tournament, but please continue.
Oh, Ibushi is your prediction to win?
Bro, I said that like three shows ago, maybe two.
Might have. I assumed
no,
you did.
I didn't.
Might have, as in I just don't remember it. But I know Ibushi is your love child. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You and Ibushi, you have your cute stuff. Don't worry about it. But I'm still on the Minoru Suzuki train. I think Suzuki has a really good chance at taking it. And then Suzuki versus Jay White would be awesome. Like, that would just be... Suzuki is an evil son of a bitch, and it would be so nice to see him in the main event in Madison Square Garden. But Ibushi is a good pick, but that was a damn good...
It just seems like a spot for him to kind of get over, because you can't... Obviously, he refuses to sign a contract with anybody, so you can't push it.
He
so
signed
far.
A two-year contract with New Japan a couple weeks ago.
Oh, well, then he's definitely winning the tournament, and it's definitely going to be AJ White and Ibushi. But just for the sake of argument... I don't know. I'm assuming that the show is sold out. You know, the Ring of Honor, New Japan, Madison Square Garden show, which they had to move the NXT show for. Say it again.
Ben sold out. Like, it sold out like 40 minutes after it went live.
But is Ibushi versus Jay White box office enough for that platform? And yeah, I was going to try to say some other cute words, but there's no need to.
I mean, why wouldn't it be? Like, Ibushi's box office by himself.
Whoa. Like, we both feel that way. Because, I mean, obviously, I've come around on Jay White, and you know how I feel about Ibushi. Like, you literally just alluded to it. Like, we're going to have, like, babies and shit. And obviously, I know how you feel about Jay White and Ibushi. But to a mainstream audience, like, take yourselves out of your Markdom shoes for a second, Mr. Belaz.
I am.
And let's look big picture.
I can explain it. Yes.
Box office. Is that a big enough main event draw for Madison Square Garden?
It is a box office draw by proxy, even if people do not know Ibushi by name, if we're just going to give it to like the casual kind of crowd, even though the casual crowd probably isn't who bought tickets to it, but I get what you're getting at. And Jay White's the champion, so there's no getting around that. So New Japan is old school in the fact that the championship goes on last. Like, they're not going to have Okada versus Tanahashi or Okada and Tanahashi in a tag match go above the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
Which we need to get that being a new phenomenon, because WWE has been doing that shit since the Hogan days. So get off that shit, IWC, but continue.
You are correct. But what I mean by it's a draw by proxy is... Everybody who bought tickets to that, even if they thought Kenny Omega or the Bucks were going to be there, everybody loves Ibushi because of Kenny Omega. So if I look at it from the fact of who bought tickets for an ROH New Japan show, Ibushi is a big enough draw. Even if you don't know his name or even if you don't know his resume, you know that he was best friends, lovers, cuddle buddies, whatever the fuck it was with Kenny Omega. So if Omega
Eskimo
gave him the
seal brothers.
Or Eskimo brothers, there we go. But if Omega gave him the seal of approval, then the Marks will give him a seal of approval. So by proxy, Ibushi is very, very good to headline an overseas tour, even if it wasn't already sold out. In my opinion,
I don't think Eskimo brothers is the correct terminology here. I think Butt Brothers would suffice just well enough.
Whatever. I knew what you meant.
Yeah, but I still feel like, yeah, Ibushi, he's the obvious logical pick here to main event that match with Jay White. On a scale from 1 to 15, how excited are you for this card? And what other matches are booked for this card as of right now? I know we've got a few weeks left, but is there anything booked for this card currently?
Aside from the two champion, the junior championship and the tag championship and the winner of the New Japan Cup gets Jay White for the heavyweight championship. We do not know the rest of the card at the moment. Now, the wrinkle could be Chase Owens beat Juice Robinson in the first round. Juice Robinson is the current U.S. champion. Chase Owens might have just earned himself a U.S. shot for G1 Supercard, but it's not confirmed. But we know that when somebody beats the champion in wrestling, it kind of elevates you to the top of the line.
Yeah, and that's how that works, but yes.
It normally is. I mean, even New Day referenced it on SmackDown about how Kofi beat people who were champions at the time they were champions and he never got his fair shot. So everybody knows that that's wrestling logic. Now, that's not going to set anybody on fire, but it'd be a good second or third match from, you know, open to kind of like maybe lead into an intermission. But it's a good exposure for both of them. People like Juice. People need to start coming around to Chase because people don't know who the fuck Chase is, really. So a good showing from him could help his stock.
And perhaps I'm overstating the importance of box office matches here, because you're going to have 100,000 marks descending upon New York in the next 3 weeks. So
sure.
Yeah, everybody that's going to be there, they know what time it is. So yeah, I oversold that, but and I still think it's going to be a Bushi at the end of the day. And if I'm wrong, fuck it, I'm wrong. My credibility is already shot anyway as a wrestling personality, so who gives a shit, right?
I mean, Ibushi's a good one. I think Suzuki and Ibushi are kind of a push because people know Suzuki because of the MMA thing and the fact that he's just a scary motherfucker. Plus, the thing sold out anyway.
Or there is one name that we're forgetting who could be a dark horse and throw a monkey wrench into this whole thing.
Shoot. Tokyo. I know you want to say it. Yeah, there we go.
Tokyo.
What if Okada ever listened to your gimmick and decided to just take up this persona of Tokyo 3K for you?
I would be happier than R. Kelly at a Girl Scout meeting.
No.
Jesus.
No.
No, we're keeping that. That stays in.
No.
But yeah, of course, also, just because he's on the other side of the bracket, Okada could always win this too. Let's never count Okada out of winning anything.
You can't ever count Okada out from winning anything. I just feel like Okada is living his best life in the upper mid card right now. Like, he just seems like very happy to be wrestling again. It seems like that title was weighing on him, and the fact that he doesn't have the title anymore, it's like a weight is lifted off his chest and he can finally enjoy wrestling again. Well, that's just
carried it for 2 years too. So
yeah,
it's not like it was a 6 month title reign like we're used to in American wrestling. It was literally 2 years.
So yeah, I don't think he wants any parts. Now, granted, that could be a title match. Obviously, it would give Jay White credibility beating a guy the caliber of Okada. So you're not wrong. Like I could definitely see that. I'm just thinking it's either going to be Ibushi or Tokyo 3K.
Fair enough. So we can move into our last topic then.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
All right.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I have to announce to you that I will never retire!
Unfortunately for Kurt Angle and Jushin Thunder Liger, that is not the case. Angle will be having his farewell match at WrestleMania this year and next January at the Tokyo Dome for Liger. Gentlemen, reflect on their careers, their Hall of Fame careers, their meaning to wrestling, and what you'd like to see in their final matches.
Well, first and foremost, wrestling retirements, you kind of got to take them like you take pornography retirements. Like, okay, we retired for now, but when the money get low, when the hungriness shows, So we'll just say their last matches until their next matches. Is that fair?
Sure. Japan usually takes it a little more seriously, but we'll see.
So, okay, we'll start with Jushin here. We've talked about this. I don't even know if we talked about it on these airways, but I know we've talked about it amongst ourselves. I'm a huge Jushin mark. I love Jushin, and I feel as if he is one of the fathers to the current style of professional wrestling. Like, I would put him there. I would put Muda there, Ultimo Dragon, He Who Should Not Be Named, Jericho, Shawn Mike, Bret Hart. Dynamite's the grandfather.
Okay, that worked. No, I'll accept that.
Yeah, Dynamite's the grandfather. Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, and I'm sure there's some others that I'm missing off the top of my head. I'm literally doing this off the top of my head. So there's some that I'm missing. So please don't get on me about it. Or if you want to add somebody, please do.
Norman Smiley, Ernest the Cat Miller, Disco Inferno.
Disco, definitely. Yes, Disco's box office. Don't you know?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in that to guy, the latest edition of God is War.
Don't be disrespectful to Glenn Gilberti, man.
That guy who had the Simon system.
Oh, or geez. Alex Wright. Alex Wright was fantastic. His tiny green pants.
El Gigante.
Oh, El Gigante. Si.
Anywho, as I was saying, Jushin is right there in that class. Like, when I first got introduced to him during his early 90s work in WCW, and he had matches against, just off the top of my head, just Brian Pillman, and obviously there were others, but there was just something about him and the way that he moved, and I didn't know you could do that with wrestling. Like, I'm coming from a situation when I think of wrestling, I think of lumbering big guys, a lot of rest holds, a lot of selling, you know, not a lot, that type of thing. And Jushin came out, and he was like the cheat code to the video game.
True.
And, you know, and his look and everything that encompassed that. And this Mel Farmer has been doing it for, what, 30, 40 years now? And, I mean, just to kind of give him his props, in this household, he even got over with Amber, and Amber didn't know shit about Jushin Thunder Liger. And it was the show. It was the show that he was supposed to wrestle Ray, and then Ray got injured, so Will Ospreay stepped in and took his place. I can't remember what show that was. What show was that, boss?
I think that was Strong Style Evolved, but okay. It was one of the LA shows, I think.
He got over with her just off his look, like regardless to in ring ability or anything like that. He just got over just based off his look, and then after that, we went down the Jushin rabbit hole, and I showed her, you know, a few of his greatest hits, if you shall.
I remember you asking about that, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the dude is a legend. I don't know what else I can say, man. Like, honestly, one of the greatest light heavyweights or cruiserweights or however you want to classify him of all time. And I feel like that's kind of limiting. Like, he's a GOAT, man. He's on the GOAT status. One thing I wish would happen, I really wish he would have had a second match with Rey Mysterio. I don't see how that's possible at this point in time, but I wish that would have happened. But, yo, shout out to Jushin. And shout out to Jushin for being able to go out on his own terms. Now, the Kurt Angle thing, it's very similar. I think the best thing that I can say about Kurt Angle, well, the two best things is, number one, he took to the business like a dolphin takes to water. And no matter what he was given, and trust me, sometimes he was given some shit, some bullshit, he always did it to the highest of capabilities. He always put his all into it, and he always made it work. And I don't know what better praise I can give a professional wrestler than that.
No, that's a good way to put it, because Kurt was great. Kurt was a good soldier for WWF, even though he had his demons. He was the main reason why TNA stayed relevant for as long as it did, if you really want to think about it. Between Kurt and Sting, that was what was bringing the eyes back every week, even when things were rough. So Kurt Angle was damn good, and you know it that's an understatement, obviously, because there's really no other way to put just how easily he took to things, how well, how proficient, how like just technically proficient he was without being boring, because that's usually what happens with technical, like, ground mat style wrestlers, like think William Regal or like a Bret Hart. They usually don't set the world on fire. They usually bore people to some degree, but Kurt managed to sprinkle in enough personality, and he managed to get over with comedic roles, you know, dickish. Like, he played the heel, he played the face, he played, you know, kind of dementia-ridden grandpa as the GM pretty well, too. Like, he can play a whole multitude of different things.
Playing balls, with all due respect.
I don't know. I don't know how off he really was. You know, that's I'm just saying that's depth. Even if that's actually a shoot right now, it's still depth. So, but yeah, Kurt's great. And when it comes down to Liger, I agree with you. I wish he could have got that Rey Mysterio rematch, you know, last year. But shit happens, and it's still possible if you really want to think about it, because WWE's been doing those global things. So maybe at one of the Saudi Arabia shows, maybe if they do another one like Australia, maybe if they do something in Japan, you could see Rey versus Liger one more time, because Liger did do an NXT show a couple years ago against Tyler Breeze. So it's not like New Japan and Liger in general are against working a one-off with WWE. So maybe if they really want that to happen and things line up, they could. But me personally, I really want to see Liger one more time against Ultimo Dragon, because Ultimo can still pretty well.
Does he still wrestle?
Yes, Ultimo Dragon wrestles mainly in, what is it? He has his own thing, and he wrestles in All Japan on occasion. I think last year he was actually the All Japan Junior Heavyweight Champion at some point. So Ultimo can still go pretty well. Liger can still go pretty well, as we've seen with a few matches over the last year or so. So one more time for that, that would be, I think that has to happen. Like, hopefully that's like the Wrestle Kingdom match, you know, in January next year. He goes out with Ultimo, but that's also me being a little bit of a mark, because I love them both.
No, I could smoke a bag of that, man. I wouldn't be mad at that at all, because there's a case that could be made in that mid-90s era that Ultimo Dragon was the greatest worker in the world, point-blank period, you know, regardless of size or anything else, bar none. So, and I didn't even realize he was still in the business. I didn't know he was still active in the business, I should say, and that's a really shitty thing to say about a wrestling podcast when you're trying to position yourself as an expert, but fuck it.
No, but that's fair, because Ultimo was actually just with Jun Akiyama last week in, where was it, Santa Cruz or San Jose. They came over to the States, where him, Tajiri, and Jun Akiyama did like a little seminar, you know, wrestled a little bit of a match and took some interviews. A couple people I know went to go see something, say hi. And apparently, according to my buddy, Ultimo sold out of all of his masks, including like the really expensive $100 elaborate ones. So even though it's like a little kind of seminar offshoot, like one-off little show, he still sold out of most of his merch. So that should show that Ultimo is still kind of over, even, you know, when he's more obscure. So some people that don't follow Japanese wrestling as closely as I do are still, you know, hungry for Ultimo Dragon stuff 20 years after his relevancy, really.
It's funny because my brother in booze and good friend of mine, Danny Hardcore Hubman, and PC is familiar. This son of a bitch, he ain't got a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out, but he's going to be at WrestleMania working the Comic-Con. And he's actually going to be the handler for Ultimo Dragon and Sonny Ono. So just to bring everything full circle here.
Well,
like,
damn.
Yeah, that's happening. That's the thing. That's going on. And, you know, the last time I saw Ultimo Dragon, he was actually with Tokyo 3K at the Regal Beagle in Montego. So I'm glad to see that he's still doing all right. And, yeah. So shout out to Ultimo
Dragon. And
they
took off in a taco truck and went right down to AAA, right?
Oh, you made it racist, man. I was just talking shit. I was doing wordplay. You made it racist, you fuck.
I like taco trucks. Shut up. Now I want a taco.
I like taco trucks. Get up.
So we fantasy booked Jushin's last opponent. What do you see for Kurt Angle? Because I know that the shout out to Uncle Bruce, the rumor and innuendo would have us to believe John Cena. I was under the assumption that John Cena and Samoa Joe were headed for something, but that doesn't seem to be the case after Tuesday SmackDown. So could it be Cena and Angle one last time?
I hope so. You know, a given what we have to work with, I kind of hope so. Because at first I thought it might have been McIntyre, because McIntyre and Angle had that little bit of beef a couple months ago. So that would be a good way, because there's the old saying where everyone, you know, when you go out, you go out on your back. So putting over McIntyre would be fine. It's a big WrestleMania moment. I get it. That'd be good. But then McIntyre got involved with Roman. And maybe because we talked about earlier, Ray pinning Joe could have pivoted Joe to Rey Mysterio for Mania. Yeah. So Cena is definitely better than the only other one I could see being involved in an Angle retirement angle. And that's Corbin. And I don't want him anywhere near anything beyond the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Like, fuck Baron Corbin. He sucks.
Yeah, I initially thought it was going to be Corbin, and they were going to have that whole match for the GM thing. And then, again, I thought they had pivoted to McIntyre because they got to set that up. Now, yeah, I guess Cena's the only thing that really makes sense. Theoretically, you would like to have a younger guy in that position so they could get the rub from retiring Angle, but they really haven't groomed anybody for that spot. So that being said, fuck it, man. Turn it into a Legends match, man. And Cena and Angle, let them go out, give them 15 minutes, and let them do what they do.
It worked for Flair and HBK. People still consider that one of the better WrestleMania matches and moments, you know, ever. So it could be. It could be good. It could be something special.
Fair enough. Tony, you got anything to add? Okay, cool. So, yeah, we're on the road. Oh, man, our bags are packed and we're ready to go. So we're just getting started here. Blast, why don't you let the good folks know where they can find you?
You can find me on the Twitter at IWC War Chief, and I will not be retweeting any Funko Pop shit for at least a week.
Yeah, okay. To quote the great poet laureate Sean Corey Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z.
Uh-huh.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Hey, just keep track of if you see one and who it's from, because it's probably going to be Patrick. It won't be from me.
Patrick, I'm looking at you too, bro. You need to give it a rest. Like, as many retweets as you Melon Farmers have retweeted, you could have just bought one. I mean, they can't be no more than 20 bucks?
If that, I think they go on sale for, like, you know, 10 bucks or some shit like
Jesus,
that.
Jesus, really?
I don't want them. I already explained this. I don't collect them. I have one because it was a gift. That's all.
Why don't you pay it forward and actually put some money in their pocket?
Well, I have bought it for friends. But well, if I can get it for free, if I can get it for free.
And then she stepped on the ball.
Yes, she did, and she landed face first in the mud.
I'm hobnobbing at the haberdashery.
Nice haberdashery, yes.
Then I pulled my dick out and put it in the mashed potatoes.
What the hell, man?
At least you didn't put it in the humidor. That's where our cigars go.
Well, they probably can't tell the difference. Mashed potatoes and potato salad, you should be good. Or ranch dip.
Just tell people where to find you. Come on.
I don't know about you, but I was thinking about having my testicles laminated.
Why don't you do that? Like, go do that, like, right now.
And then laminate them to your face.
That's not how lamination works, Balls. What are you talking about?
It could be if they reach. That's impressive.
How? How, man? What do you think? What are you talking about?
Flatten
it down? What are you doing? Explain yourself.
You could laminate the whole thing. Then you can cover
it in
butter.
What? The whole thing? What are you talking about?
And cover it in butter. Put some crazy glue all over the house.
That's not lamination. That's
what? What are we talking about?
What? That's not lamination. That's lubrication.
Oh. Okay. Just Twitter. Where are you at? Go.
PCPC, Tony.
PCP Tony?
PCP Tony!
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Hey, man, you guys can find me at Twitter on at The Real C Platt. But more importantly than that, make sure you all go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. If you agree with these two gentlemen and the Commander-in-Chief, Greg DeMarco, that Baron Corbin sucks, you know what? We've got a shirt for that. If you agree that Jesus did the ultimate job, we got a shirt for that. We've got old school chair shot designs. We've got new school chair shot designs. The bottom line is we've got something for everybody on there. Again, ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Also, if you enjoy what we do, actually, we're getting ready to record Pod Is More. If you want to see what that's talking about, well, then you need to take yourself to Patreon.com/thechairshot and become an official Patreon member. Please and thank you. Thank you and please. And yeah, I ain't got nothing but shout out Cody. Or Cody Kingston, right?
Yes, shout Kofi out. Rhodes and Cody Kingston, everybody.
Kofi Rhodes and Cody Kingston.
Jamaican Elite Wrestling.
Jamaican Elite Wrestling.
I guess we can't do that because the abbreviation would be Jew, and that's a little insensitive, isn't it?
You worried about being insensitive.
Well, you can't put that on a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, hell has officially froze over. So if you're waiting for ice water, just give it time to melt because it is frozen over.
Buy a giant brown and yellow shirt that says Jew. What? That doesn't work as well as AEW does.
Yeah, you're just making it worse. On that note, it's about time to wrap this up. For Andrew Snowflake Balls Balazs, for the Commish PC Tunney, I'm Christopher Platt. Thanks for tuning in. Keep in touch with us, man, as we journey on this road together towards WrestleMania. Until next time, shalom and hit it early. Yes, I do. You bitch and you. You wrote a whole song about me, but I'm about to have to wrap it up, boys, because I've got to pee.